Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
Well, Travis, people debated. Well, they didn't really debate. They just figured Randy Orton was going to win tonight. But instead, the Bloodline attack all three competitors, Randy Orton, AJ Styles, LA Knight. And then Nick Aldis observes the beatdown and informs Paul Heyman he just bought himself a fatal four-way at the Royal Rumble. So Styles and Knight will not be in the Rumble, in all likelihood. They will be battling for the world title alongside Randy Orton. What do you think of this as a, match for Reigns to get past in order to get to the next stage towards WrestleMania, giving all three this main event spot? It does kind of show, just because Randy Orton came back and Styles came back, LA Knight not getting completely lost in the mix, getting some equal billing. What's your reaction tonight?
Yeah, I went into this assuming Orton would get the one-on-one showcase match at the Rumble. And now I'm thinking, okay, what do they have planned for this spring and summer? Or even sooner, do they have something planned for Elimination Chamber? But I thought, you know, maybe that's the Rock spot. So I'm kind of a bit thrown because I just thought we were going to get a relatively triple threat match, clean finish, and Orton would win. And this kind of came out of the blue for what I expected.
So I have less of a problem with fatal four-way matches and triple threat matches just because at least wrestlers can pair off and fight each other. Not that that happens a ton. Triple threats are awkward because, you know, you have the wrestlers hanging out at ringside for a long stretch of time, one at a time and that kind of thing, or 2-on-1 beatings. But overall, I mean, my preference is for, as I've made clear, you know, one-on-one matches.
Yeah.
This has some logic to it, you know, storyline-wise, both in terms of all three being, you know, compelling enough opponents for Reigns. It saves Randy against Roman in a one-on-one situation for another time. Mm-hmm. If they want to go there, maybe it seems like Randy's fine, but you know, it keeps him out of a position of having to carry a whole singles match. Randy was out for a while, Styles was out for a while, LA Knight somewhat limited, athletically. So, I mean, in a way, if that had anything to do with this match being a four-way, I get that. Say it's for sure it does by any means, but that's perhaps a bonus. And I don't know. I mean, you know, people like Styles, people like Knight, people like Randy, and now fans get, you know, three wrestlers to choose and talk themselves into thinking might beat Randy, you know, the kind of the more casual fans, when, you know, it does feel like a foregone conclusion and that you know, Reigns wins and goes on to defend against Cody or The Rock or both on the road to WrestleMania. Yeah, go ahead, Travis.
It takes two major names out of the Rumble now, you would assume. I don't think they're going to be in the Rumble and in a showcase match, title match. And what else was I going to say? Oh, it also, they built a bit of cachet with Roman's reign in this whole 1,000-something days. I can only really remember one triple threat match or... And that was, like, I think how he won it. I think he won one of those titles, his second one in some kind of triple threat. I don't remember. I just watched some kind of thing with the butterfly effect of day one, 2021, I think. So them having the four-way, it's not like, oh, another Roman gets a, you know, it's some kind of, it's another four-way or another multi-man, you know, match in this title reign. Like, the thing this reign has gotten is a lot of individual high profile, you know, showcase matches at Roman's. Whoever's been on the other side, it's always been one guy and they built it up and made it a big deal. So having the four way now, it's like, okay, it's fine. It's like, oh, we haven't seen one of these in a while, which is how it should be. Not, oh, I'm sick of another one of these. Ugh. I haven't felt that way.
Yeah, I also think one of the benefits is Randy doesn't need to lose to Roman, even though Roman needs to win at the Rumble. LA Knight or AJ Styles can do the job. They can save Randy for another time and build that as one match. Not that that will necessarily happen because, you know, Cody might beat Roman and maybe there isn't a Randy-Roman one-on-one match that they need to, quote, protect. But it protects Randy a little bit either way in not having to lose one-on-one to Reigns. So, I mean, yeah, there's an array of things that have, you know, some positives to this. My vote would still be for Randy against Roman. Just go do it. You know, just Randy's fresh. He's back. Crowds are into him. Styles doesn't feel like he's at that level right now. LA Knight had his turn, and, you know, he's not quite at the level where you think, oh, yeah, he has a chance to beat him. I think some people could talk. And part of it isn't like that we have to sit here on the show and pretend there's much of a chance at all of Reigns losing, because there isn't. But the casual fan can go, ooh, Cody wins the Rumble and Randy wins the belt. There's a history between them. You know, you want to create a scenario where fans can talk themselves into or just genuinely believe, hey, there's more than one path to a WrestleMania main event. And then that could also mean Roman against and by the way, the four-way could lead to this still. Maybe Randy wins a four-way, but the out is Reigns is protected in losing. And he goes on to face the Rumble winner, Cody. And then Roman and Rock have a battle at WrestleMania one-on-one, no title, with head of the table being kind of the hook. So there, regardless of a four-way a one-on-one, that scenario is out there. But by having a four-way, Reigns can claim he never lost and put all the heat on Nick Aldis. And who knows what they have in mind when it comes to Nick Aldis and Roman. So anyway, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm talking myself into this giving us a little bit more to talk about than I thought we would in the next couple, you know, next 2-3 weeks going into the Rumble. You gasped?
No, I was very quiet.
Well, not gasped, but I thought I heard you be like, oh, like, you know, what about Orton winning facing Kofi and Roman Rock then being a non-title match?
No, I gasped in a, ugh, that's a terrible idea kind of way.
Yeah, I could have chosen a better word.
The Rumble and
So before we elaborate more on that or go on to things, just I want to get your take. I haven't talked with you about Rock's return on Monday, the head of the table comment, clearly a big part of the narrative on SmackDown tonight with the highlights of his return early in the show and Paul Heyman addressing it in a promo later. What do you think? What do you think about the segment Monday and how SmackDown handled it tonight as a follow-up?
The follow-up was fine. I thought the actual appearance of The Rock was just very well done. It made sense once Rock came out, but I thought the gender stuff was a bit hard to get through. And I think that was kind of the point. Like, let's make this unbearable. So when you hear that, you know, if you smell, they do what they do. And they went absolute nuts, ask Samantha Irwin. But Rock, once he came out, was rocking, hit all his points and was pretty sassy with his phrases and his language. It was after, I guess, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, so it was fine. It was good. It was well done and well received. And I'm always usually a fan of The Rock when he's out there doing Rock stuff, especially on somebody that's very easily hateable, like Jinder Mahal.
Do you have an official prediction on when and under what circumstances Rock Reigns take place?
It has to be at the Elimination Chamber. Like, it just has to be. I think it would be so if he just came in and stomped all over a WrestleMania, even though it would be like, hey, this seems like the place for it to happen, and the crowd obviously would be into it. They're obviously telling a story, and really two stories now if you count Punk and Rollins over on Raw. And I just think that would be unfortunate for everybody. And I'm not one of these, oh, we've been on the road, we've been here, and you just come in. Like, well, sometimes that happens. But this isn't the year you need that.
Right.
You could always use The Rock. But this isn't the year you need something, because it's January and you have no idea what you're doing in April. or you have a vague idea. Like, no, it seems like, just from my vantage point, they have things mapped out. Seems very logical. You're going to tell that. It's just a matter of how they get there. Does Cody win the Royal Rumble back-to-back? I fantasy booked in my head. My way of getting there, not my number one way of getting there, is having Cody not only win the Rumble, but argue to be the first or second, you know, in the match. So he can, you know, not that people complain a little bit at the time.
There's a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, he came out 30th, you know, but just to hit that and to make his, and to kind of tie that loose end and, you know, or come full circle on that and have the match, them night two and Punk and Rollins night one. It's just, boom, it's all lined up. And so Rock coming in and doing that would be, but also the whole, I've been hearing for 2 months about Australia trying to get Rock to come for the Elimination Chamber. So what, does he make an appearance to wave at the crowd and say, hello, Sydney, or wherever they're going to be, and, you know, do some lines and, you know, maybe hit a rock bottom on, you know, a Jinder Mahal type and leave?
Careful when you say do. Careful when you say arrive and do some lines.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you getting at? Come on. This is not the place for that, Travis. No, of course, I know what you're
saying. Yeah, so I don't think that's what they would publicly and, you know, try to woo Rock to come to the pay-per-view just so he could, you know, show up and wave to the crowd.
Right.
Him in a showcase match against Roman Reigns. Now, that's what they'd pay for.
Absolutely.
So that has to be more than the WrestleMania stuff's already lined up, but just because real world business stuff, like I can't not know that Australia's been trying to woo the Rock. Like, super casual fans that just don't know that might just go, oh yes, WrestleMania is the clear goal, but I can't help but, you know that that's a happen.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So let's pause. Let's introduce ourselves in the show, and then we'll get to callers. And we're hoping to hear from an outside correspondent who's in attendance tonight. Also, we've also got some emails to get to. Good to have the switchboard back up and working for the new year. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, January 5th, 2023. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and the website pwtorch.com. And also the host of various podcasts, including the flagship earlier this week with Rich Fan. Check that out on our Blue Logo show. Search Wade Keller on your podcast app. That's Wade Keller. And subscribe to the Blue Logo show to get our flagship and some of our classic episodes from over the years and some really cool evergreen interviews with big names and former WWE writers telling behind-the-scenes stories about the creation of big matches and big storylines. And then also subscribe, if you haven't yet, to this, our red show, our red logo show, the post shows following Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision. And the other voice you hear on the show is tonight's co-host, Travis Bryant, from the now VIP exclusive PW Torch East Coast cast. Travis, welcome.
Thanks for having me back, Wade. Hey, everybody.
Good to have you. Has the new year been good to you so far?
So far, so good. Actually, I'm a little sick. I've been dealing with a bit of a cold the last 3 days, but, you know, hopefully, you know, we get that out of the way early in the year and smooth sailing for the rest of the year.
Yeah, colds are no fun.
I was at Cam's house watching the AEW pay-per-view. I think some of our extracurricular activities, but that doesn't sound... I was smoking a blunt. I just say it. You know, passing around the whole room. Yep. I probably got a cold for somebody. I think they're making out.
Could be all kinds of things.
Although.
All right. I'm just shocked. I'm just taken aback, Travis. I never imagined, never thought. All right. The number, if you want to join tonight's live stream, if you're listening to us live, is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That'll flag you on our switchboard so that we know that you want to be brought onto the show. That's 347-215-8558. By the way, you can find our live stream by clicking the link at pwtorch.com. During Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, the Wade Keller TV reports that I write include a link along with a reminder of the phone number and email address So that's how you can live stream the show. We sometimes post on Threads and Twitter X, the link also. Or you can just go to WadeKellerPostShow.com and navigate to the live stream. The email address, by the way, WadeKellerPodcast@gmail.com. Just a reminder, it's at Gmail now, not at pwtorch.com. We had some issues with our emails arriving from our dedicated server. So we just are going with Gmail. They've got all the spam stuff figured out better than we do and all the capacity, you know, stuff and all that. So WadeKellerPodcast@gmail.com, and we will have a much better chance to receive your email using that new main email for this show. All right, people are lining up on the phone line, so let's get rolling with phone calls, and then we'll get to emails later. And like I said, we're expecting to hear from our on-site correspondent. First up is Jay from Michigan. Jay, thanks for calling. Thanks for being first in line. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, Wade. Hey, Travis. Thanks for having me. So
sure
what's
thing.
On my mind? What's on my mind from SmackDown tonight? And Travis, man, glad. Well, welcome back. You know, last time we had quite the debate about CM Punk and Seth Rollins. I'm pretty sure that drew big ratings, man. So I appreciated the banter.
Yeah, that was fun.
But
the minute by minutes were great.
Off the charts, man. That's what main event Jay brings. But so my thought process with the triple threat, man, is like I do believe it could have went obviously one or two ways. They chose the latter, which I think the former would have been. I thought I said triple threat, but so the triple threat tonight.
Yeah,
I
but
think
you said then it could have went one of two ways.
You trying to start us up, Travis?
But then it went a fourth way, so I'm wrong. So.
Okay, so what I was gonna say was, yes, Wade, you mentioned that storyline wise there was a purpose to do this, and I think that, you know, guys do have their cases to be in this match, but at the same time, you know, Wade, you said something like they could do Randy against Roman down the road, but we won't. If things play out the way they likely should, in my opinion, is that we won't have another opportunity to do a one-on-one Randy versus Roman for the title. And I think that was a big draw, in my opinion, because, like you said, AJ's not heated up to that level, and I know he's got some unfinished business, but sometimes the business don't get finished, man. And LA Knight had his shot. You know, I'm not clamoring to see LA Knight in that role again, so it's like, I felt like the money match was Randy and Roman, but I will say this. Perhaps on the flip side of this is that maybe they're saving the Randy title program opportunity for once Cody wins the championship and comes to SmackDown, and then he can state his case and maybe do a heel turn and say, hey, man, I never got my opportunity, and now it's all about Cody. So what do you think about that long term? Like, do you think that maybe that's one caveat to why they did it this way, is because they want to save the marquee Randy Orton title program? Because obviously he's not going to be taking a pin in this match. So maybe they want to save the marquee Randy program for Cody winning the championship and maybe give him a major match at SummerSlam?
Yes. When I brought up maybe Randy gets a one-on-one shot against Roman, I, as an astute listener, Jay, you know, I followed up by saying, yeah, there probably won't be time to do that. And therefore, yes, if Cody wins, Cody and Randy have a background with each other. And so if Randy is protected in this four-way rather than losing to Roman, he has more of a claim to go after Cody for perhaps a match at SummerSlam. Do you like that, Travis? And if they do that, do you think do you think it's possible they do that? You know, is it on your radar as a somewhat likely scenario? And do you have to turn someone, or do you just kind of do Randy Cody with the whole legacy background?
I'm not sure if you have to turn. I think, you know, August, that's a long way off. So I'm not even sure if that's on. I'm sure it's on, you know, Triple H and the creative folks' minds, but I just think it's a little. It was a bit jarring when you say, "Oh, turn!" Like, "Oh man, that's SummerSlam. That's 8 months away." But I do like the idea of he gets to, they're saving that program for the reasons you stated, Jay and Wade, and it doesn't, doing it that way doesn't keep Randy from getting his physical revenge on the bloodline. He still, between April and August, beat up Solo and Jimmy and Roman. You know, they could do a big match, one-on-one match with no title, obviously, on the line at Money in the Bank or something like that, where Randy gets a win over Roman, and which, you know, launches him to the SummerSlam match that we're talking about. So doing it that way just doesn't keep him from actually getting them any matches with Roman Reigns or any of the other bloodline guys.
Jay, back to you.
I think it's going to be quite interesting, you know, forecasting, because as you were mentioning, Travis, and I'm not sure exactly if you agreed or not, Wade, but it definitely seems like the past is before Wade had Rumble, the Rock, oh my goodness, the Rock match at, I'm sorry about that, the Rock match at Elimination Chamber, and then, you know, the Cody match at Rumble. So, I mean, I'm sorry, WrestleMania. I'm really intrigued to see how Roman is used post-title, man. Like, but what is the story? Is it going to be told, or is he just going to go, you know, like, obviously his part-time contract is what it is, but so I can't really say go away. I'm really, really interested to see what becomes of Roman Reigns post-title. That's intriguing. Now, otherwise on the show, man, I felt like it was a pretty good show. You know, WWE seems very, very, or SmackDown seems very faction heavy, man. It's like every segment was a faction. You know, you had the Street Profits and Bobby. You had Karrion Kross debuting their new thing with Paul Ellering and AOP. Then, you know, even like the de facto thing they had going on with Logan Paul, Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller, which I love. I mean, I think that is – I love that pairing. But, you know, it definitely seems like they're diving into the factions. Do you think that's just due to SmackDown being a two-hour show and trying to get everybody on the show? Or do you really think, like – because I don't ever remember a time, you know, where there was this many factions minus the Attitude there.
What do you think of all the factions, Travis?
See, this was something I used to say frequently back in the day, was why Vince didn't know how to book baby faces, because he didn't know how to, like, book, like, a decent person or something like that. Like, he just doesn't know, like, joy and happiness. Like, he doesn't, you know, just kind of a mean thing to say about Vince and his creative mindset. But I felt it was somewhat true. I think this is another kind of, we're getting past Vince's kind of psyche, and that Triple H understands people have friends. People click up all the time in every single school, work, play, everywhere. The gym has clicks. So it makes sense that people would group up, especially if it's a physical, you know, fighting thing, when you would – definitely want people to have your back and have your buddies' backs. So I think it's just born out of, hey, people have friends, and friends have their friends' backs, and sometimes, and that just leads to, you know, group fights sometimes. So I think it's just that. Not even necessarily, oh, Triple H loves factions. That's kind of how things work.
I just want to know why Paul Ellering looks maybe slightly younger than the first time I saw him 40 years ago on TV. He's one of those people who just, wait, I thought he was this age way back then. But it's cool to see him. Cool to see him back.
How are they going to – he didn't want to be on the road 4 years ago.
I think this is just for the intro. Okay. That'd be my guess. Yeah, but it's like, hey, I'm endorsing this and tying it together. But he'll be a consultant from afar. You know, maybe they'll cover that. I mean, I like this use of Karrion and AOP. Travis, your thoughts on them bringing them back?
That's fine. I liked it. I forgot they did that that, you know, clash the guys backs together before you powerbomb them spot. And yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, that's I like that. That's really cool. So that's fun to have them back, and hopefully they're a little bit safer and not as stiff as they were, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But, yeah, nice. Sucks that it seems like Street Profits going to have to – are going to be fed to those guys, at least in the beginning.
Well, what do you – oh, finish your thought. Yeah.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
What do you – what is going on with Flashing the Street Profits as characters? Does this signal that WWE's waving the white flag on them being heels? Or
no
idea. Is this going to – yeah.
When they came out and they get the – Bobby Lashley gets the reception he does, and they don't go – they don't shy away from it. He's slapping hands. He's going – he's singing mouthing along with the announcer, his almighty moniker. There's nothing about their presentation – that says, you know, hate us, boo us, dislike us in any way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jay, anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, man, I want to close with this thought. You know, speaking on Bobby Lashley, the Street Profits, and the indifference involving their character. So I went to the house show here in Michigan like a week or so ago for the holiday tour. And it was very house show esque, but it was like it was kind of hilarious the way they utilized the Street Profits and Bobby at the show. So, you know, they Street Profits music hit, and nobody really knows the Street Profits new music. So when the music hit, nobody really responded. Then the Street Profits came out. It was a bit lukewarm, you know, because I feel like people don't really know where they are as characters. Then they hit Bobby's music, and Bobby came out to a rousing ovation. However, he didn't even, like, wrestle. So he comes out fist pumping, slapping hands, and, like, the second he comes out, the Street Profits kind of switch their demeanor into babyface mode. They do their pose on all four corners so all the fans can eat it up. Then they were facing, like, the LWO guys. So I'm like, as soon as they come out, I'm like, this is interesting because they're clearly baby faces. So as soon as the LWO guys hit the ring, Bobby, like, charges them as if he's a heel. The Street Profits worked the entire match as heels. Then as soon as the match was over, they went right back into baby face mode. And
slapping hands.
Pose, and, you know, dancing and smacking hands with the displays and the snowman that was up there. So, like, it was quite hilarious and bizarre, man. And I just thought about all of the different, you know, stories about how they're saying, hey, you know, they can't get them over as heels, but they're not doing anything heelish, especially Bobby. Like, Bobby is the one that was pushing the whole agenda, and he's the one doing the least amount of heel stuff. But, you know,
all about do whatever you got to do to win. That's right. And he was mad at them for not cheating.
Right.
Yeah. And
exactly.
And he's done nothing to win anything, you know, as far as, like, whatever it is. But it's been weird from the start, man. So I think they'll just, you know, my thought process leaving that whole ordeal with them was like, man, just get the Street Profits back their old music and let them be babyface and Bobby's over, you know, just let it be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a case where they wanted it to be one thing, and the crowd just wasn't having it, and now they're just sort of in this in-between zone. You know, do we fight the headwind of fans cheering them? But we're, like, in this in-between zone where it's almost going to be contextual. Well, you know, Karrion Kross and AOP are presumably heels, but, I mean, we'll give it a couple weeks before fully judging. It's a weird – I don't think the crowd's entirely sure other than they think they know Bobby – they know they like to cheer Bobby, and they know they like to generally cheer the Street Profits. So WWE's got to be really clear and decisive if they want the reaction to be different, and there hasn't been consistency of commitment to that. So, you know, they're either going to be tweeners, which, you know, isn't good, where we portray them as saying things heels would say but match them against heels and let the fans cheer them. And that can be a little murky. All right, Jay, appreciate you kicking things off for us.
I appreciate you allowing for me to kick it off, man. You guys have a great night.
Yep, you too. All right, we have two Joes, both from different parts of New York, on deck. But we're going to go to our on-site correspondent first here. So hopefully the Joes will stay put. You guys are up next. Doug, who attended tonight. Welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are. You are live on the show right now. Is the now a good time, or do you want us to?
No. It's fine. I'm just heading back from the SkyTrain. Anyways, it was a great show. I really enjoyed it.
Flying trains in Canada?
Haven't you heard, Travis?
it's an elevated SkyTrain, elevated train.
Oh.
So it's above
the
entry level. It was a good show. The Dark Match was Cedric Alexander versus Gable Stevenson. With Gable winning.
Tell us about how Gable came across.
He was booed pretty badly. He wasn't very popular.
For what?
I'm not sure, but people did not like him at all. I didn't even, if they didn't have his name up there, I wouldn't know who it was. And I watch it every week, he won.
Doug, did he wrestle as, I know there's a lot of back. Did he wrestle as heel? Like, did he play into it?
He seemed to play up as a heel. He wasn't really cheating much.
What did he look competent in the ring? Did he look great in the ring? Where did he fall in this match in terms of how the impression he gave you?
He looked very confident. Very confident. He seemed to be feeding off the crowd, the negativity of the crowd. Yeah.
Interesting. And that was the only dark match?
After the show, it was Chelsea Green versus Bianca Belair. You still there?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Chelsea did the whole thing where she was saying how great, because she's from Victoria, B.C., so she was saying how great, seeing wrestling in Vancouver and everything like that. And then she turned heel and said she's happy to live in Florida and did that whole thing. And it was an okay match. I left right afterwards because I wanted to hit the train before everyone else did.
Sure.
But, yeah. It gets rather busy.
Doug, did they advertise anything else for the show that you knew was going to happen before you left?
All I knew was as in dark matches, you mean?
After SmackDown ended.
Yeah. That was the only thing we knew was coming was the Chelsea Green Bianca match.
Yeah, fair enough.
One question. Oh, sorry. Ask you guys a question? Okay, during the Mitchum match, Mia Yim seemed to have a wardrobe malfunction. How did that come across on TV?
Yeah.
That's right, talk about that.
So the spot happened, and it was one of those typical, they dive to the outside, and then they go to commercial. So I want to ask you, did she ask the referee to help her with her top?
Yeah.
Did the referee, help her, tie things together?
Yeah, and she was having a lot of trouble doing it, and then finally they found a string or something and just kind of stitched it back together. But
during the commercial.
That seemed like a good 15 minutes. Good 15 seconds. Like, it took a while.
Oh, seconds. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, seconds.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, the way they the way it happened as naturally as typical WWE production goes. Like they do the spot, they go out the ring. But I noticed her like trying to do it one-handed. And I could tell one of the things was broken. And then right before they went to commercial, I saw her look up into the ring and, like, talk to the ref. Like, what else would she be asking the ref besides, hey, my damn strap pop, can you help me out here? So, yeah, but all the tying together happened. We didn't get to see that. So it happened at a good time if that kind of thing is going to happen.
Yeah, I had a really good spot for that. So we started really well. Sorry about the first noise.
Before you move on, by the way, too, it looked like she had two layers, just so people know.
Yes,
so she had the blue cup, you know, the blue sparkly thing over basically a sports bra, and the blue sparkly thing when she dove through the ring came loose. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything that broke from PG at all.
No.
And him being in a good spot to see it all was just kind of see everything that happened, not it all.
Right. That was my clarification. Like, there wasn't a lot to see.
No. I mean with the referee tying it up and everything.
Yeah.
Ew.
Good thing they had some knickknacks hanging around that they could fix it real quick.
Travis, being you saying that Rock's going to go to Australia to do some lines, and then him,
you know, a lot of had LA Knight bleeding, and I read a thing that they're good, you know, they're going to have some blood back on some of these shows, and LA Knight shows up with some color tonight, and things are getting a little aggressive, a little attitude-ish.
All right, go ahead, Doug.
Okay, did Vancouver sound good over the airways tonight?
What do you think, Travis, of the crowd?
Yeah, you guys represent it. Is that what you meant, or did you mean just like the production level?
Yeah,
like,
no,
it all
that's
sounds
what I
fine.
Meant, because...
yeah.
Okay, because there was a lot of...
They got pissed at that Canucks line.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of... like quiet spots through there, so I was just wondering. There was let's see, during the Kevin Owens match, there was a fist fight between two audience guys just going at it, and they were cleared out pretty quickly. Did you guys see any of that?
No, I didn't even see like the crowd looking. That's usually the indicator.
Yeah,
people aren't paying attention to the match. I think that shows how good the match was, or not how good the match was, but how into the match the fans were.
No, it was during the just after the Kevin Owens came out. And whatnot, then two guys just came at it. And they cleared that off pretty good, but Kevin Owens kinda had the look of Dick Lasky Vancouver on his face, so he definitely saw it, right? So let's see. Of course, the biggest pop of the night was of course, the three. But Randy Orton is so over. It's not funny. He's just, people just absolutely love him.
He's
course,
at
Roman
that point where he's, you know.
He hasn't been around
now, Roman got
and
it.
He's back. Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. And Roman, got a big pop too when he was announced. So yeah, it was pretty exciting for Vancouver. We haven't had one of these since February of 2020. So before society.
Oh wow.
So it was So it was pretty pretty exciting to actually have something of significance, because it seems like Toronto and Montreal gets it all. Right. So when they announced the Money in the Bank going to Toronto, crowd just booed like they wouldn't believe, because it seems like they get everything, right?
Right, yes.
As in shirts, I bought $180 worth of of shirts.
Oh wow.
I got a Daddy.
Did you get the
Coleman
Roman hoodie?
T-shirt. I had
Rise Above or always Levels Above. That was pretty.
Levels Above. No, they didn't have it in hoodie. They only had it in T-shirt. So no, I didn't. They didn't have any hoodies there. I would have bought one if they did. They had two significant, just two Vancouver shirts, Vancouver 316 and with Stone Cold on the back. And I bought one of those. And New Year's Resolution, I was there, sure. So I bought one of those as well. And I buy a program every year. I have like 20 WWE programs. So,
oh, cool.
Is there anything else you'd like to ask? Or
I got one. Just besides Randy Orton, talk about who got the biggest reactions of the night, pro and con.
I would have to say. LA Knight, people were saying the yeah line, even when he wasn't there, all through the show, they were saying the yeah line. So I would say he's pretty, he was pretty over. Kevin Owens, of course, because he's a Canadian, right? They're all, anyone from Canada, right? So, Kevin Owens was great popular.
Elaborate on the reaction to Logan Paul relative to regular heel wrestlers.
Logan was pretty, he was booed pretty big, especially for the Vancouver Canuck line. Someone in my booth were saying let's go Logan only because only to be crafty disturbers, but there was a chant Logan sucks going through the arena, so he was not awful.
Any other notable chants from the crowd?
No, just basically the Logan sucks one really came out. But other than that, yeah. No, I didn't hear anything else.
Travis, anything you want to ask Doug before we let him go?
Nothing specific. I think we've. Yeah, I don't have any. Yeah, nothing specifically.
I'll ask from an LA Knight standpoint compared to Styles and Orton. Where do you kind of have him in terms of his popularity in Vancouver tonight?
Yeah, I would have to say he was. He was second. I would say Randy was first. He was second, and even though AJ came up first, he got a fairly good pop. He's definitely was third of the three.
Styles was third, you said?
Yeah.
Or not?
Okay,
Styles. Yeah.
Styles was third. Knight was popular. Like I said, all through the show, they were saying the yeah line. So, he was pregnant.
Right. Cool. Doug, anything else you want to add before we let you get back to your train ride?
I think that's good. That's all I have for my notes. It was a pretty good show, and I hope we get a pay-per-view one of these days. Even a lesser one would be good. Like, it seems like even AEW disrespects Vancouver with a collision show coming up. We didn't even get a Dynamite. So it's all pretty, I don't know if Vancouver smells or what the problem is, but we just don't
well,
seem
you're on
to
the
get
West
the big
Coast
show.
And North. I think that's what it is.
Beautiful city, though.
Yeah.
It's the one major city in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
Cool.
Okay. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, it depends. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. okay. I really liked your recap for VIP, and I really liked your Wade Keller hotline. I really like they're one of my best things to one of my favorite things to listen to, other than the pick. So I'm a happy VIP listener, and thank you for all that you do.
Awesome, Doug. I appreciate you taking time to say that. Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year. Thank you. Okay, bye.
Yep, you bet. All right, if you're live streaming us, we're still taking calls. Feel free to call us mid-show here. The number is 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 if you want to be on the show. Otherwise, you can just listen in. That's easier for you than streaming it. All right, let's head to Joe from Albany first. Joe, thanks for calling. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year, Travis. Happy New Year, Wade.
Thank you.
I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed especially the main event. I thought was really hot. I thought the crowd was into it. You know that we just talked to somebody who was there asking if the crowd was loud. I thought they were. I didn't know that I wanted a four-way until they set up the four-way. You know, normally in a match like that where, you know, the stakes are so high, you know, we've had the kind of the crap finish, but it doesn't lead to anything, you know, or we have to wait for it. I thought it was really, really cool that they did it that way. And I think that the WWE has a really good problem these days. I know that I think it was the first caller, Jay, that was talking about the same thing. I think he wanted a one-on-one match with Roman versus Randy Orton. And I wanted that too going in. But I think that they just have so many A-list stars right now that they got to keep them way, you know? And I think that this is a good way to do it because I know from here till, you know, when this Fatal 4-Way, when it takes place, people are going to be, oh, well, you know, Roman doesn't have to get pinned, you know? And there's going to be kind of a thought out there, because even I'm thinking it, you know, what if he loses? There's more people in the match. Roman could lose the match, and I don't think that's going to happen for the record. But you know what I'm saying? I think that it actually makes it a little more interesting. And I think that they are doing a good job in utilizing kind of the embarrassment and riches they have, that being so many big stars. Thoughts on that?
One thing, too, I like, I agree with what you said, you know, it adds possibilities, and also they're going to accentuate Roman can lose the title without getting pinned or submitted, and he's going to be upset.
Are going to be insufferable.
You think they're going to mention that?
You know, with Heyman and maybe even Roman himself, but the announcers just pushing that. He doesn't
which
have
is
to
really
be pinned.
Stupid, which is really stupid. I mean, just, you know, conceptually, like, yo, you can lose your title if you're not involved in the finish. It's silly. But one thing I like about it is the heels interfered in a match. And now they're being punished. Nick Aldis is saying you could have fought one guy.
Right.
Now you got to fight three. So, you know, when the heels cause this, the odds to go from, I'm putting in quote marks, 50% chance Roman wins to 25% chance Roman wins, which is, you know, silly, but the percentage is being so exact. But that is, you know, roughly speaking, Roman, without a doubt, has lowered his odds of winning and opened up a chance he loses without actually getting pinned or submitted. So the heels are getting, not retribution, they're getting punished, you know? There's consequences to their actions, Travis. So that's something I like about it.
Yeah, it's that thing when the heels, there's not going to be any contenders when they ruin the number one contender match, which essentially this was. And it's like, what, have you ever watched wrestling, Mr. 1200 Day Champion? You know how this works. Yeah, so Heyman with the shocked face, it was just so pro wrestling. Like, you know, yeah, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But it was, again, you know, that's fine. You don't need everything to be, oh, that came out of the blue. This was perfectly predictable in its unpredictability. I don't think we predicted it was going to be a run-in. I think we all thought Randy was going to win, like we said earlier. But once they did the guy, when they came in and beat everybody down, it's like, okay, well, this is probably going to be some kind of four-way or something. I just didn't think they were going to get to it right then and there, but that's probably the best way to do it. Like, why else have Nick Aldis out there?
Yeah. All right. Back to you, Joe.
Yeah, Nick Aldis is he's killing it in this role, you know? I think that he was I don't know much about him in terms of his wrestling career. I know that he's a wrestler, and I know that Impact?
Magnus?
Yeah, and it's weird.
And
like,
NWA.
One of those right, sorry. Yeah, NWA. He's one of
he
those
became the man,
wrestlers
like the
I've,
guy he is now in NWA.
Yeah, I've followed him but not followed him because I've known of him. I know that he's Mickey James' husband. I know of him, but I don't know if I've ever seen a match. So I'm curious to – I hope that it leads to him, you know, one day getting in the ring. But just for starters, I think he's doing a really great job. Did you guys have –
he might be doing too good of a job.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. It's like but the thing is, I like our boy Adam over on Raw. Why am I forgetting his last name? Pierce. I like Adam Pierce, but for different reasons. You know, he's kind of the exasperated boss that everybody, you know, kind of everything's a little overwhelming for him, but it works, you know, and all this is the complete polar opposite, and that works well too. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot, and I hear I know he's a former wrestler too, so there's a lot that could go down there. Did you guys happen to catch how LA Knight, I rewound it and slowed it down. Do you think that was hard way, or do you think that he did the, you know, the deuce?
Well, when he pulled the ref out of the ring, I didn't see any, because when he jumped in the ring afterwards, he was almost not full Crimson Mask, but his entire forehead was pretty bloody. And that was 7 seconds after he pulled the ref out, and he wasn't, like, they didn't focus on him, and maybe that was when he was doing the gig.
It happened when AJ did the 450 splash, I think. And it's like, AJ does the 450 splash, and then he gets up, because that's what I rerounded and watched it like a few times trying to see if maybe like AJ's knee landed on his head or, you know, but it didn't look like that happened, you know, but right after he does the 450, his forehead just starts bleeding, and I couldn't see where that could have happened.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on when it happened, so I can't speak to any specifics.
Well, it was cool to see the blood, I guess. It was kind of my way of, you know, I mean, I think that,
it feels,
you know,
a little
definitely made it up. It made me go, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a match
where
you want to spend one of your blood cards, though. It's like
It was like kind of, and I think the caller thinks maybe it was hard way as well,
right.
But what a perfect little spot to get busted open hard way. That's the thing about bleeding like that from the forehead in wrestling is, you don't see people bleed from there in fights. Like, that's not where blood typically, if anything, it's over your eyebrow, you know, because that's where your skull inside your head is sharpest. but not in the middle of your forehead. But
right,
yeah.
Well, so there's that.
Cool.
And I guess
else?
My
it,
last
it
thing.
Show, yeah,
yeah, just I guess I think you guys were talking about the Street Profits earlier, and I think the problem is I was, you know, from the walk to the ring, I think the Street Profits are just defined down with Bobby Lashley. That's something you say a lot, Wade, defined down. And I think that's a good way to put what I think is happening to them in this role so far. Now, is there an opportunity to pick it up? Of course there is, you know, because they have another week. And there are creative people over there. So, but right now, it seems they seem miscast in the role. And they are almost like sidekicks to Bobby Lashley. And I don't know, this might be unpopular. I've never thought Bobby Lashley's appeal has been him on the microphone. You know, I think his appeal is the way he looks and what a badass he is in the ring. You know, but the guy that probably has the best mic chops in the ring there, with being Montez, shouldn't be the sidekick. You know, I think that the Street Profits should either be a tag team. I think that I don't see the reason to break them up. But if you do, then try them as singles and see where that goes. But them sort of being the guys behind Bobby Lashley in this sort of weird new Hurt Business that's not called the Hurt Business isn't working. I think that, you know, cause, and I love factions. You're talking about that. I mean, I love the Attitude Era, all of that, NWO, DX, all of those. Love factions. But I think that in a lot of factions, you know,
you got to have the right components.
But there's usually like a leader, you know, and that works for like Escobar and Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, because Garza and Carrillo need, like, they could use the shine a bit. You know, I think the Street Profits kind of shine all by themselves. What do you think?
I think that might be why the thing hasn't caught like it, because if the fans feel it, then the act feels it.
Right.
You know, if you're Montez and Angelo, you've been going, whether you want to say strong, but certainly consistent for 4 years, 5 years, taking in NXT as well. You've got a thing, you've honed this thing, and in the back of your mind, you know, okay, there's going to be a breakup, and hopefully it's done right, and the fans like it, and we make some money out of it. But in the meantime, we've got this chemistry, we've honed our spots and our act and everything, and now they're supposed to be cool guys, but in this different way. It fits more Montez, and they even played into it when they were shopping for suits, and Angelo just wanted to wear sweatsuits and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so they did a decent job in the beginning of doing that. Just there was no follow up. They're just there in the background, and occasionally in the foreground. Well, usually in the foreground in the ring, because in that whole time, Bobby's wrestled maybe twice that I remember. But I think it's I think they themselves don't necessarily feel exactly comfortable in what they're doing right now in the last couple of months.
Joe, anything else quick before we move on to our next caller?
No, I think that's going to do it for me. I've been loving the shows lately, and thanks, guys, for what you guys continue to do. Taking my call.
Appreciate it. Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
Hey.
All right, so we've got Joe in New York, New York, and then up next, Brad from Florida. Joe from New York, welcome. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Yes, good evening. Let me just piggyback off of that last comment there with Lashley and the Street Profits. I mean, really, I think the problem those guys have is they don't have anybody to wrestle. There's no teams. There's nothing for them to do. They're kind of standing there without an opponent. Like they want to talk, but there's nothing to talk about because they don't have anybody to go against.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And I think they actually could use MVP as a manager, I think. But it still doesn't solve the problem with nobody to wrestle. That's kind of where they're stuck. And people forget Lashley is in his late 40s. He's just, you know, I mean, he's in phenomenal shape, but he was in the WWE back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't see, you know, what they're going to do with that. Now, as for the main event, I think, you know, I don't love four-way matches, but let's be honest, two of the guys, and they really had no business being in there. They weren't going to win. And if they were going to win, even if they won, they weren't going to win at the Rumble. So, you know, it's a way, it's also an easy way out, so only one guy has to do a job instead of two or three. So it's not a terrible thing, but it's not a great thing. You know, but we all know Roman's not going to lose there anyway. He did more work in the last 5 minutes tonight than he did in the last 5 months. So that was nice.
That's factually untrue.
How could that be factually untrue? He hasn't shown up. Well, actually, no, you're right.
Probably, I mean, you just say 5 months. I mean, I get your...
He wrestled in November, you're right. So he did wrestle in November, but it just seems like, you know, most of the time he's not there. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how they play this, because I can't see The Rock not doing something at WrestleMania if he's going to do something in February. That's just, I don't know, that dynamic doesn't work, and I don't know how they're going to do it. And I also have a big problem with doing a rerun for a WrestleMania 40. You know, every 10 years it's like a milestone, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. You're going to have WrestleMania 40 be exactly pretty much what you did at 39, because you had Cody win the Rumble, and then you're going to have him go into the WrestleMania main event and win the match. I mean, and right now he's a little cold right now because, you know, we got to see if he wins the Rumble, I guess. But he's kind of cold because everybody else, CM Punk's back, Orton's back, Rock came in. So it pushed him back a little bit. And that's what happens when you don't pull the trigger when you should have. Because he should have won last year. He was the hot free agent. He should have been built as the undefeated free agent who came in. And no one's beat him yet. He knocked off the champ, who was the champ for 2 years. And there was a story to tell there, and they missed the boat.
What do you think, Travis?
I mean, I agree with the sentiment, but Cody's over, and I don't think he's cold by any means. He's feuding with Shinsuke, and they're doing interesting stuff, and he'll win the feud, and then he'll... I don't think anybody complained about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Not that Cody's Rhodes is Stone Cold Steve Austin, but Stone Cold Steve Austin winning three Rumbles in 4 years or whatever it was between, you know, 97 and 2000 or 2001. Mm-hmm. You know, so what? They had Rock and Cena main event to it. It's just that happens, and if it's the story calls for it, then you do it. And this year, I think that Cody's going to benefit a lot more with taking the title off of Roman this April than he would have last April.
Yeah,
and Travis, I know you were talking about the triple threat matches before. The last time I remember Roman in a triple threat was, I think, WrestleMania 37 when he stuffed Edge in Daniel Bryan on top of Edge, and he pinned both of them.
Double stacked.
That was the last.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the last time. Yeah, I mean, he's a.
And then he was in one with like Brock and Bray Wyatt or something. I don't know. But yes, definitely when he racked them and stacked them. That was. Yeah.
And what do you guys think? Do you think? Do we get a couple of Rock appearances between now and No Way Out? I mean,
Elimination
Chamber?
Whenever, assuming.
Because they're going to have to do something there, I guess.
I mean, he did. Didn't he say on social media, Travis, we're just getting started or something like that?
He did say that.
I would hope he doesn't just get announced for a match and send in a video. You know what I mean? It'd be good for a lot of reasons for him to show up. Person.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's too big of a match. You know, this is too big for him to
own it
to
in
sit at home and to do the via satellites. No. You gotta show up, and I think he's gonna wanna. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, I think he's gonna have a promo battle with Heyman face to face, with Roman face to face.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you gotta make it big, and you gotta. Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to see his interactions with Jimmy, just for him to.
Yes.
You know, I kind of hesitate.
It can be good for Solo too. But go ahead.
He's gonna. You know, I think they're gonna, because Jimmy's playing. He's a bit of a clown, and he's comedy fodder, you know, selling those RKOs, you know, for 15 minutes and, you know, stuff after shows. They're, you know, cleaning up the ring and breaking down the ring. He's still selling the RKO after the show. He's doing that, and he yeet, and Roman's scolding him all the time. So I hesitate to, like, what can The Rock do and say to him that's, you know. But I still want to see it. And, yeah, even Solo, I want to see what he's got to say about, you know, Solo, the quiet assassin guy. You know, I called your dad a thong wearing fatty 20 years ago. What are you going to do about it? You know, just something. He's got to show up at least twice in the next 6 weeks.
And what do you think? I think so. I think he'll show up because either way, you're going to need it to build those, either at Elimination or at Mania. You're going to need that.
Yep.
Okay, that's about it.
Cool. Good hearing from you again, Joe. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Okay.
Yeah. Travis, Joe brought up that Roman's got to work WrestleMania, even if he wrestles Roman at Elimination Chamber. Do you think that's true? Is WrestleMania a letdown without him? What options are there? Because I wouldn't be against Rock Jimmy or Rock Solo or Rock and someone. Do LA, just pull the Band-Aid on LA Knight. Have Rock and LA Knight become buddies. Take away the idea that Rock is a cosplayer, and instead, you know, he's inspired by and Rock endorses him, and they team up against Jimmy and Solo. I'm just, you know, spitballing here, but there's things you can do that'll feel like a good supplement and follow-up to a one-on-one with Roman.
Yeah. Yeah, and because it's The Rock, it'll be a big deal.
Yeah, and because it's Bloodline, it'll be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Rock can give a valuable rub to Solo in defining him and elevating him during this, one way or the other. And there's many ways you can do it.
You can even have Roman Reigns demand Rock's not on, he's on a different night. Like, Rock, if he's on the show, he better be night one. I don't want him on night two with me. I don't want him on the same card, just to be petty.
Yes, yep. Cool, okay. Let's go to Brad from New York, and then we'll hit some emails before wrapping up here. And you still can call us if you want to. Brad, welcome. Been a while. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Hey, guys. Great to speak with both of you. You know, on Joe's point about, you know, in February or at Elimination Chamber with The Rock, I agreed just because of this reason. Like, I heard this week, I'm sure you guys know, it's starting at 4:30 a.m. East Coast time. So you're going to have 95% of America watching that on a delay. And I just don't, you know, I think it should be a big event.
Might be me,
but
too.
I don't know if you, yeah.
But
I just don't know
if
you do.
You're going to have an event that people have to watch on delay. It's one that they are going to have to, that they're probably going to watch as soon as they wake up.
Yep.
They're going to want to avoid spoilers. It's on the weekend. So wake up 8, 9 o'clock on Saturday or Sunday morning and watch the show and stay off Twitter. And you know, it's not a Saudi show starting at 1 p.m. that you can kind of watch at work on your phone, maybe, or just completely miss and listen to, you know, Wade Todd and, you know, Greg Park, you know, talk about it afterwards. It's something that you're going to want to see, delay or not. So I think Peacock's like, yeah, no, this is going to be, this is going to make folks watch later. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Brad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, to me, I don't know. I feel like it would be so big for WrestleMania. And to be honest with you guys, like, I don't, maybe you guys will disagree with me because it's a head of the table match and Cody would have no place in it. But I have no problem, honestly, with, you know, A Rock, for instance, winning the Royal Rumble, Cody winning Elimination Chamber, and then both choosing Roman. And, you know, instead of one choosing one championship, one choosing the other, and you have a three-way lock. Yeah, I know, because it can't – I know, because it's too family and Cody's just sticking his nose in it. I get it. But tonight was the first night that I felt like the Bloodline was back. And it just felt bigger. It felt old school Bloodline tonight, more so than anything, I think, you know, since Jay left. I just feel like tonight, for some reason, they came across as extremely dominant and extremely imposing. You know, Jimmy wasn't being the fool. He was being an aggressor. And they just seemed absolutely ruthless. And I don't know. Did you guys get that sense, too, that it felt like they were back a little bit? Or was that just something that I was kind of perceiving on my own? Because it really did feel big time when they came in and started that beatdown.
I guess I see where you're going. It was kind of classic. They just come in and wreck shop and, you know, do all the violent things and gang up on folks. And yeah, the numbers advantage. It was classic Bloodline in that sense. I hope they do. And it's probably up by now if they're done, or will be up soon. Certainly before midnight, they have to do like a WWE digital exclusive of Paul Heyman, letting Roman know, hey, I thought they were going to do it while Roman's holding up the title, because I'm looking, it was 3 minutes left, but Fox likes to get off the air, with plenty of time to run some commercials. I thought Roman was going to look at Heyman with his shocked face and go, what's your problem? And then he told him on air, but no. So I assume they're going to do some kind of digital exclusive and put that up on YouTube and the socials, instead of having us wait till next week to get Roman's response. But yeah, I hope we get that at least.
What else, Brad?
Yeah, man. No, that was actually my next point, because I heard, I think like 50% of your, the guy who was in the arena from Vancouver.
Yeah. But
I didn't know if he, I didn't know if they made any sort of announcements to the crowd in terms of, like, it reminded me of almost when Jimmy Uso said, I'm out of SmackDown, I'm out of WWE, deuces, ooses, whatever he said. And then he ran through the crowd and left, but that crowd didn't know what he said, because he just said it into the, you know, the cameraman sitting right there. Well, we all heard at home, but they certainly didn't. And I didn't know if, like, they announced after it went off air, like I would have liked to have seen all this, honestly, take the microphone and step in the middle of the ring and like, no, like almost like an Adam Pearce moment. Like, you think, rather than whisper it to Heyman, I mean, he could have just said it on the microphone out loud. Like, hey, Paul, you think this was a good idea? Now you got a four-way and hear the crowd go nuts and Roman be shocked. Rather than the way that they just did it with a whisper going off air to Heyman. But
so,
did he say,
Brad,
that they announced
jump
anything
in
the
and,
yeah.
Brad, I'm going to jump in and disagree. First, I don't know if they announced it in the arena, but probably not. I don't think WWE is too concerned about that. They can check their phones or they can announce it if the show goes off the air. But I don't think the fans in the arena need to know that instantly. I really liked it because it felt less of a show and more of an intimate moment that we were privy to. Of Nick Aldis walking up to Heyman and just going, tell Roman, congratulate him. he now has a four-way match. It felt more real to me. Like the camera guy was doing his job, chasing down Nick Aldis, who's approaching Paul Heyman to give him a bad piece of news. And then we got a close-up of Heyman. I liked that. Travis, I want to get your thoughts on that and then throw back to Brad for follow-up.
Yeah, you wouldn't see, David Stern or Paul Tag – not Paul Tagliabue. Let's whatever,
Goodell.
NFL guy. You wouldn't see top flight, you know, sports administrators doing that. They might not even do what Nick Aldis did and completely do it off camera, but obviously this is wrestling. So not grabbing the mic and making himself a spectacle is probably the more sports, you know, kind of sports-like presentation and not sports entertainment kind of showy. You know, the GM, and it's not his show, or, you know, it's like he's not the talent. He's not the – he's an administrator. He's a time manager. He's a talent manager, but he's not an on-air talent until he is, obviously. But I'm with Wade. I like the way they did it. I think it feels more – it feels a lot more genuine. And it fits Nick Aldis that he – that he's not going to blow his top and get, grab a mic and do it that way. Even if he was calm about it, he's just like, you know what? Let me just tell you. And he's just a little more cool and calm and collected. So I think it fits his character better the way they did it. And just even if it was Adam Pearce or someone that was a little more energetic, a little more neurotic, I still think that was that would have been the better call.
Hi, Fred. What do you think?
Oh, look, I agree with your guys' point. I really do. I just, you know, to me, I forget sometimes that this is a television show first and foremost. Yes, the crowd is almost an extra in the television show, you know, and you're right. It did give that intimate view so, you know, you're right. You know, but if I was in the crowd, I was just thinking that way. Like, I would. I don't know. I don't know how it like ended. You know, just end.
I have to assume the Titantron had they wouldn't have been able to hear it, but they would have seen all this in Heyman's personal space and then Heyman's face.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it would have been somewhat, maybe not exactly. They would have known. Aldis just gave Paul Heyman some bad news. What could it have been other than four-way at the Rumble?
And
we're going to review the match next week or something that they didn't want to hear.
And I'm not saying that I would have an opinion based on this, but if it drives people to open up their phones and open their browser and go to PWTorch.com to find out what just was said, obviously they have the way to do that. It's not only PW Torch. Don't tell anyone that. But they have plenty of ways to find out what just happened. So, you know, if you get people are curious, that they take out their phones or they tune in next Friday to find out. I mean, whatever. It's fine. Anyway, what else, Brett?
No, that's it. Thanks, guys. Have a great evening. I'll listen to the rest of the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Cool. Appreciate it. Fun to have Brad bring up something we wouldn't have thought to bring up, which is fun with callers. All right. Let's go to emails here before wrapping up. Jorad in Canada says, hey, Wade, I just want to get your thoughts on an observation that I made this evening during Io Sky's entrance, and this happens on all wrestling shows, including AEW and Raw, et cetera. When you show a wide shot of a crowd, it's not a showcase of the intensity and passion of fans. During Io's entrance, they had a wide shot where the stage and ring was in the left third of the shot, and the crowd was the other two-thirds of the shot, and it looked to me very dark, and if the crowd were all just sitting there watching. I understand you want to show off a big crowd, but unless you can do it for a reason, like a crowd being really hot for a wrestler or a truly sold-out house that looks amazing, I don't feel you should do it, and you should focus on finding a different way to the show and the passion of a wrestler by the fans. One idea I mentioned before is going outside the arena before a show and filming fans lined up to get in and get some interaction. That way you can air that on your show. WWE isn't as bad as AEW for these wide camera shots that are obviously hiding empty seats on the hard cam side, but it annoys me so much. Thanks. Kevin Dunn from – no, I'm kidding. Jorad from Canada. Travis, what if Kevin Dunn starts sending in weekly emails critiquing changes WWE makes? I would love that under Jorad from Canada. That would be the best. I totally get what he's saying. You know, like if the crowd isn't going bonkers, you're better off showing a close-up of her body language, her facial expressions,
that's behind her.
Yeah, exactly. So I get that. I mean, I like wide crowd shots, and I really like the idea of showing the exterior of the arena and fans arriving. I love that the NBA and NHL do that. I think it's so cool when you watch a Major League Baseball game, and it just brings you to the experience
WWF
more.
WWF used to do that all the time.
Yeah, I miss that. Of course, some people don't care. They're like, point a camera at the ring, show me wrestling moves. And that's fine. But for me, I want that kind of vicarious experience of, oh, I didn't travel to this show, but I kind of have a feeling of what it would have been like to walk up to the arena from the outside. Is it in a downtown environment? Is it a big parking lot? Are fans excited? what's the entrance like? I like to have that complete feeling. And then same thing with, concourse shots, like going in and out of commercial break. And it's more practical for like intermissions and sporting events where they kind of show that. Where wrestling, there's not really an intermission, but before the show fans lining up for merchandise and wearing merch, and they see a camera and they yell, whatever the catchphrase of the season is or the era is. I just think there's a different way to shoot wrestling than anyone's done. And I was hoping Tony Khan would be one of those people who would just kind of not reinvent it, but sort of reinvent it, come at it in a different way. And that just turns out to be not even on his radar as a thing, like not at all a thing for him. And so I'm bummed out about that because I'm very visual in that way in terms of setting a scene. WWE's been really good about it, but, maybe with Kevin, I didn't notice anything tonight. Did you notice anything that felt different with Kevin Dunn gone? Travis, like an idea that some people had, but they didn't dare push it because they knew Kevin didn't like it, and we saw it tonight?
No, I think they're going to treat it like they're doing with releasing folks, with folks like Kevin Dunn leaving. There's about a dozen people that are going to leave, but they're not going to let them leave all at the same time because in the stock market they'll go, oh, they're losing half their administrators. People in production or whatever department they're from, in panic. So over the course of the next, probably 6 to 12 months, those dozen people will quietly leave the company. So it'll be something in a similar vein of they're going to do. I also doubt that there are drastic changes that they're going to implement. It'll probably be small things. It's not like NXT was shot so differently. I remember when Triple H's crew, when that started becoming a thing in NXT, like he's got his guys, he's got his crew, he's got the, I know it was a big deal when they lost some folks too, because they were kind of, if I'm remembering right, wasn't Kevin Dunn supposed to leave 2-3 years ago? And then he stuck around, and then the people that Triple H kind of promised, like, you guys are my crew. And it's like, no, well, this guy's still there. So back to the original point, I just don't think they're going to implement stuff all at once. If there's things to change, it'll be phased in, and we'll probably barely notice it when it does
happen. Raw on Monday, we had, the announcers, Colin Barrett, stood in the middle of the ring to introduce the show, which is cool.
Two-man booths like, now. I think that's
yeah. Well, Cole might have just been on vacation too. Did you? Is that official? Was that something?
Whoa, I read that they're starting in 2024. There's going to be two-man booths now.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Patrick got to be mentored by Cole and save some money. And I think two is plenty. I mean, the Cole Patrick thing felt redundant, but Cole can hold Patrick's hand a little bit and let Patrick sit next to someone who's a pro, who understands the way of doing things and go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hector from Chicago says, am I reading too much into the line where Paul said there's not one man on the planet who can beat Roman? Are we headed to a multi-man match at Mania? Rock, Cody, Brock, Rock, Cody, Punk, Cody, Brock, or any combination of them or someone else. Now, he sent this. He sent this at 8:20 Central. So this was not – they hadn't revealed the four-way yet. So I think Paul is just dropping a little – I don't know. Would that qualify as an Easter egg or foreshadowing, I guess, is better. He was foreshadowing what Nick Alta said at the end. That's what I'm thinking, is no one man can beat him. And that was just a line Paul threw in to be Mr. Smarty Pants, because it's going to be a four-way based on them attacking everybody. In his words, coming back to haunt him a little. Well, if no one man can beat him, maybe three can. And so, that's something that I think Paul would think of. I don't think anything to do with WrestleMania. And I think they are smart enough, I will phrase it in a judgy way, to not do more than two people, just do one-on-one at Mania. I just can't imagine them having Roman, Rock, and Cody in a three-way. I mean, I think that's a weaker match than Roman, Cody, or Roman, Rock. It just waters things down. That, to me, triple threat matches are when you don't feel confident in a one-on-one match, so you had a third person, and they don't need that for either.
Nope. I thought you were going to come with some kind of I thought the emailer was going to come with some kind of intergalactic angle. Like, there's not one man on the planet. Like, oh.
So someone on a different planet.
In the Martian delegation.
Oh, funny. Yeah. So what do you think of just a couple things to tie up the show here and things we haven't talked about? The Escobar with Angel and Humberto, and then his old cohorts coming back to attack Angel and Humberto. What do you think of setting up that tag match? I mean, it's not top of the card stuff, but do you like what they did there?
Yeah, that's fine. It makes some sense and gives those guys a little bit of juice, like that they kind of got, you know, bitched out. Not kind of. They got absolutely and totally bitched out by Escobar. Uh-huh. So, yeah, let's get some of our heat back, beat up his new goons, and show them we're not to be trifled with.
Yeah, yep. What do you think of Tyler Bate coming back and reteaming with Butch? Was this I know people are going to be upset. This was their chance if they were going to change him to Pete Dunne to do it. Not that Pete Dunne is a great name, wrestling name, but not that Butch is a serious name. It's more of a sidekick type thing. But nevertheless, Butch and Tyler Bate together, what do you make of them teaming, and what do you make of them getting a win over Pretty Deadly, who I would have thought they'd protect a little more, but, you know, not a big deal. They're going to win some and lose some.
Yeah, they still can, when they have their "Hey, we're back" promo next week, Tyler can be the one that go, "Hey, if we're teaming together, I'm not calling you Butch." Just flat out in a backstage segment with an interviewer or with just them in the locker room, like, "Hey, good to have you back. Good to have you on the main roster." You know, not that Butch like, "Hey, stick with me and you're going places. I'm the, you know, I've been around here for a while," but just kind of basking in the idea that Tyler's there, they're reteaming. Let's rekindle some of those NXT glory days. And, oh, by the way, Butch, I'm never calling you that again. And do it in like a homeboys kind of way, like just a couple of pals, you know, razzing each other, but he's like serious about that part. And they use that. And next time you see him intro, he's Pete Dunne. So
and,
they can still do it.
Sure. Yeah. What do you think of Logan Paul on commentary? I think he deserves a little more attention for the work that he did on commentary and with his body language at ringside and working up the crowd.
Yeah. I thought there were two or three. The match itself. How many times did they have to go to do the same? Owens is sitting on the top rope and Escobar is running up to he got caught the first time and then they redid that spot three more times with other moves, but still it was like, anyway, Logan, I thought, got shown up a few times and he played it very well because he takes his shots, like saying, you know, Owens looks like a teenager going on a field trip and you know, things like that. Like you wouldn't recognize him in the mall or those kinds of, but if he's going to take those kinds of shots, the fact that he sells when he's improv and he's quick enough to catch it and the announcers will set him up and say, "Hey, you know, and then Owens will do a move and the camera will look at him and he's like, "Ooh, I didn't think he could do that," or "I wasn't expecting that." I thought his heel work, his ass showing heel work and not just his his ass showing heel work was better than his obnoxious heel work. And they blended well. He wasn't just one or the other. He was very good on announcing the day, is what I'm trying to say.
And finally, Shante the Adonis having a little pep talk from Nick Aldis in the office. What do you think?
Yeah, I think about it just like I thought about the Brie stuff a few weeks ago. You saw her talking to Aldis, or I think it was Aldis, like, "Hey, I have some ideas, or I need to talk to you." So Shante doing the same thing, or in a different way. And Aldis saying, "No, I've got faith in you. I think you can, you've got it in you. And I've got some ideas for you." And Adonis going, "Oh, wow. Okay. I'm interested to see that part of, what's Aldis's role in, what are the ideas he has for him?" So I think that was cool and intriguing.
I wrote in my report, I'm both intrigued and a little worried, like what all this is going to do. I got ideas for you. And it's like, okay, we're going to learn about all this, but what is this idea? And is he going to be, you know, like really in it out for his best interest, or is he going to have bad ideas or what? And why is a GM coming up with, quote, ideas for a wrestler? Isn't the idea you put them in the ring and see if they can win? Like, is the idea how to get you over? Well, that GM shouldn't, I mean, you know, he's going to be
layers.
What?
It's layers. It's everybody on every level of fandom can hear that and take it a different way, or take it slightly a different way. Like, is he going to offer him a new gimmick? Why is all this coming up with gimmicks? It just makes you go, oh, this could be in, or like you said, I'm intrigued, but also I could be worried, or if you're just a guy that's been following Ashanti the Adonis, and you were really excited about the group name, the B-Fabs,
the B-Fabs,
those guys.
Now you made me forget their group name, because now all I have is those two in my head.
And if you were like excited, but they never caught on and things didn't go well, and this is just your like, oh wow, they're doing something with the guy I like.
Hit Row.
Kind of excitement. Hit Row, yes. Hit Row. They're doing something with the guy I like. Excitement. It's just there's something for everyone. I think with something like that, there's a intrigue on many levels.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else, Travis, from tonight's show you want to bring up?
Yeah. Io Sky has the best music in certainly WWE, but probably all of wrestling. Oh, and I know she wasn't happy that things got leaked, but Julia, I'm very interested in her. I've never seen her wrestle. I've only seen still shots and maybe a GIF here and there. But there was a promo or some kind of – she was promoing something, and I saw it on Twitter. And just her English, like the way she cut the promo, she has a Japanese accent. She's clearly – English is clearly her second or third or whatever language, not her first language. But it was – she's already the best Japanese promo they have, if indeed she does sign with the company and shows up. Already, based on that one thing, she's better than anyone they've had that has a strong Japanese accent. So I'm just excited over Julia, and she's super fine.
Cool. All right, Travis, thank you. Anything you want to plug before we sign up?
No. Well, I was sick this week, and we were going to hit East Coast Cast, and new year, new us. and then I got sick. We haven't done a show since November. But listen to the East Coast Cast. We've got 12, 15 years of archives. So go think of something you were excited about in 2011 and go listen to what Reed and Dre or me and Cam thought about it then. But yeah, East Coast Cast on Torch VIP. Go VIP, listen to us there, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Cool. All right, thanks, Travis. Thanks to our listeners, and we'll talk to y'all next time. Have a good weekend.